WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I've been wanting to talk with the actor Robbie Coltrane for some time now. The opening of his new comedy, Perfectly Normal, gave me the opportunity. I first saw Coltrane in the film Mona Lisa. He was the garage mechanic, Bob Hoskins' best friend. In Kenneth Branagh's movie adaptation of Henry V, Coltrane played Falstaff, brought back to life through flashbacks. Coltrane is terrific, playing off former Monty Python member Eric Idle in the comedy Nuns on the Run. They starred as two very civilized bank robbers on the run from gangsters. They hide out in a convent disguised as nuns. The very large Robbie Coltrane wears a very large habit.
The bathroom is at the end of the corridor. We all share bathrooms and showers, of course.
Not literally.
What's the matter with that?
Our order's very modest. We don't tolerate nudity in any shape or form.
Especially our shape.
Yes, we believe it's a sin to show our private parts of the body in public.
Oh, not to us, surely. We're all just the same underneath when you get right down to it.
Well, yes, but we couldn't possibly break our rules, though, could we? No, and I'm sure you understand that, Sister Mary of the Annunciation.
And we'd like you to explain it to the Sister Superior.
Why me?
What did you ask her to explain it?
Well, it's her job, isn't it? Annunciation. Isn't that a classy word for announcement?
Yes, if you are the angel of the Lord and you're declaring to the Virgin Mary she's about to conceive by the Holy Ghost and have an immaculate conception. But not, Brian, not because you want a private shower because you're pretending to be a nun and you're frightened the other nuns might see your...
Where did you get your sense of how to act like a nun from? Had you ever gone to Catholic school?
No, I hadn't, but we did look at a lot of them. And we had a nun on the set who was our sort of advisor in these matters.
You needed a nun on the set to tell you?
Well, never having been a nun, you know.
That's right.
It is funny, though, as soon as you put on anything like a dress, you do automatically, it automatically inhibits your movements in a way, so you do behave in a sort of vaguely ladylike way when you've got a nun's habit on, quite instinctively, I think.
Well, this was not your first role in drag. In Dreamland, which was an independent film, you played a kind of beleaguered drag queen.
That's right, yes, a transvestite called Annabelle. That was Frank Clark's idea of a joke, sort of casting against type, because he's a Liverpudlian. He wrote Letter to Brezhnev as well. And in fact, in Liverpool, there are sort of truck drivers, you know, sort of married men who live quite a butch life and have tattoos and things. And then at 6 o'clock at night, they become Susan. And woe betide anybody who doesn't call them Susan. It's really quite fascinating.
Now, something I haven't seen that I'd like you to tell us about. You did a one-man show by the Italian playwright Dario Fo.
That's right, yeah. In the 60s, he used to do these one-man shows around the factories and so on. I mean, essentially, sort of socialist shows, sort of quite politicized interpretations of events as they were happening, because, of course, the 60s was a very turbulent time in politics. And he decided to rewrite the mysteries, they call them, which are basically the miracles in the Bible. And in medieval times, there were what they called the comic mysteries, which were a kind of alternative and very scurrilous version of the Bible, because the Bible was interpreted very much down class lines, like when they did a miracle play in the village, the guy who owned most of the land played God, and Jesus was always played by the eldest son of the guy who owned the land, and so on. So this was a kind of scurrilous version. So that's what we did. We did the comic mysteries and put in lots of modern politics. Margaret Thatcher got a good kicking for closing hospitals and the public sector and so on. It went very well.
Do you think that there's a difference between how you're cast in American and British films?
I don't know, really. I often wonder how people do cast. It's as much of a mystery to me as anyone else. Obviously, I do, from the States, I get offered a lot of sort of Bellucci parts, you know. You know, the fat gross guy at the bus stop who does something disgusting. But I don't do those. I just turn them down until something interesting comes up.
I can understand why you turn them down, but tell us why you turn them down.
Well, because I don't think it's your job as an actor to be some sort of stereotype. I mean, there's no point in being an actor if you're just going to be a stereotype, which you can do with your eyes closed. You know, you really being an actor is about adopting different personalities from your own, really. And not to say that I'm a huge Bellucci-like slob, but...
Do you think that your weight has affected your career in any way in terms of the kinds of roles that you want to do or the kinds of roles
not at all. Well, I mean, it's up to yourself, you know. I mean, I would rather not work than do a part just because I was a big guy. I mean, I've never done anything that was based on my size, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference for comedy? I think most of the movies I've seen you in have been comedies.
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy doing comedies, yes.
You were a member of the, or maybe still are, of the British group The Comic Strip?
That's right, yes. In fact, we're going to do another series. We've just finished a film in Yugoslavia called The Pope Must Die.
What kind of comedy is it? I'm really not familiar with it.
Well, it's hard to describe. It's kind of post-Joe Orton political satire, really. MTV took it up here. I think they paid us something like $4 each an episode. It does tend to be very much about events that have happened in Britain, so that I don't think it travels too well.
You've done a lot of British television.
A lot, yeah.
Does the Benny Hill type of humor predominate on English TV? You know, the kind of nudge-nudge, wink-wink sexual
humor? It did for a while, but the comic strip and... there's a group of us who have been dubbed the alternative comedians, that we don't do any of the sexist gags and we don't do any of the sort of racist gags and the mother-in-law jokes and all that nonsense. Benny Hill was... I think they've pulled the plugs on him now. He was terribly popular. He's very popular here, too.
Oh, yes, I know. Or was, anyway.
He's the sort of stuff that my generation really don't like at all.
What else did you react against?
Well, there's a... stereotyping, and an awful lot of British comedy was very much sort of middle-class sitcom, you know, ding-dong, hello, darling, I'm home, you know, The Good Life, all that sort of stuff. We reacted very strongly against all that.
Actor Robbie Coltrane is my guest. His movies include Mona Lisa, Henry V, and Nuns on the Run. His new film is Perfectly Normal. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Actor Robbie Coltrane is my guest. What were your experiences coming up through the ranks in England? Which ranks did you come up through?
Well, I, like quite a lot of actors, actually went to art school. I studied painting. And then I joined an American theatre company, the San Quentin Theatre Workshop. I joined them in London. And then I went to work for the Travers Theatre in Edinburgh, which was the sort of fringe theatre of its day, you know. It was... famous for putting on new writers and doing a lot of pretty amazing sort of far-out stuff.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Glasgow in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get interested in acting?
Well, I did it at school, did a lot at school, and I did quite a lot at art school. And it was always a toss-up as to whether to go to art school or go to drama school.
And why did drama school win?
Why did art school win?
No, art school won, right.
Yeah.
You didn't even go to
drama
school.
Well, because art school in the 60s was sort of centre of an awful lot of activity that I approved of.
Oh, so were you there with a lot of, like, rock stars-to-be also, who also came out of the rock school?
Yes, well, there were quite a few people who became musicians and so on, yeah.
I don't know what it is about
drama school just didn't seem attractive in the 60s. It all seemed very darling and lovey, and I think I probably made the right choice, actually.
When you say that, is that a class thing that we're hearing you express, or is it just about a sensibility?
A sensibility, I think, perhaps. A certain sort of preciousness. Mm-hmm. There is a class thing, too, I think.
And what do you object to about the preciousness?
Why do I object to preciousness? Everybody object to preciousness?
I love it.
What's to be said for preciousness? Let's hear it.
Yeah, I know. So what kind of early parts did you get when you started to act?
I played mainly sort of American heavies, American tough guys.
Why American?
Yeah. Because English people find it very difficult to do an American accent. Scottish people find it a lot easier.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, where did the American accent come from? It's, you know, it's a mixture of... there's a phenomenal number of Scots and Irish and people here. I think, you know, maybe that's where it came from in many ways. Because you pronounce your R's and you're not very flat and, like, you know. Whereas if you talk like that, you know, it's very difficult to suddenly go to New Jersey, you know. It's a bit of a move, really.
Well, Robbie Coltrane, thank you very much. I've got one last question for you.
Yes.
Did anyone ever think you were related to John Coltrane? Just seeing your name, not knowing
well,
who you were.
Well, that's very funny. The lady at the hotel said to me, she said, are you that musician Coltrane, she said, because my son's got all your records. She was really sweet. So I had to tell her that he was black and died in 1961. And I think she was a bit upset. Now, I named myself after John Coltrane, in fact.
Did you really?
Yeah, I shared my real name with a guy who was an actor who was alive, and the British Equity, the Actors Union, asked me to change it for professional reasons. So I went through my albums to somebody, and I'm going, so it could have been Robbie Parker or Robbie Gillespie or
Robbie Rollins.
Robbie Duke Ellington. That'd be quite funny. Have you met Robbie Duke Ellington?
So why did you hit on Coltrane?
I think, well, because it's an Irish name, so I didn't want to. A lot of Scots people, when they change their name, take on sort of waspy English names like Windsor and things like that. And I thought I'll keep myself with a good Celtic name. So Coltrane's a good name, I think. In fact, I've never known anyone else called Coltrane apart from the late great John.
Yeah, I've never come across anybody outside of John Coltrane either.
No.
So what was your real name?
My real name's McMillan.
And so there was somebody else named Robbie McMillan?
Well, he's called Roddy McMillan. He was a great Scottish actor, no longer with us, I'm afraid. But it makes sense, because obviously if you do a radio play and they read out the list of characters and so on, they could get confused between the two of you and so on. It just makes life easier.
Right.
It means, too, I've got two names, so I can order things from mail order catalogues anonymously. I'm saying no more.
Well, that sounds like a really good deal to me.
Mm. Okay.
Is there anything you wanted the opportunity to talk about that we didn't get in?
I can't think of anything, really.
Okay.
Not really, no.
Fine. Great. Well, good luck and everything.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. One thing, definitely. I would desperately like to do an episode of Cheers, if anyone listens to you.
What?
I'd like to play Norm's big brother. It's my favorite show. I would die to be in that. Even as a doorstop.
Well, maybe somebody will be listening. Why do you like it so much?
Well, because it's just hilarious, and it's so... everything that's funny about it... I think it's just terribly cleverly observed human nature, really, which is what real comedy is about. And also, of course, everybody in it is wonderful. There's not one weak link in the chain. They're all brilliant.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see you on there sometime.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, then.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Actor Robbie Coltrane, his new film is Perfectly Normal. This is Fresh Air.